If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel this morning. I want to read a few verses in Mark's Gospel, in chapter number 14. The Bible said in verse 35, "And he went forward a little," this is Jesus, "and he fell on the ground and prayed." I believe we could have revival if we had more people falling on the ground and praying. "If it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh, and he findeth them sleeping. And he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Verse 38 is where our text is. He said, Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time, and he saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough. The hour is coming, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand." You can be seated. Pray with us a moment. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the people that are gathered here today at Bible Way Baptist Church. Thank you for the fact, Lord, that before you ever made the worlds, before you ever created man, you knew who would be in this meeting today, and you knew the need of every heart and every life. I pray, dear Father, this morning that you would help us, Lord, to convey what you put in our hearts. May the Spirit of God take it, Lord, past our ears, down into our hearts, and help us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before I start in the message this morning, I feel compelled to say something. I hope it makes sense to you, but I believe it is very, very true. God is never going to give anybody assurance that needs to be saved. Did you hear what I just said? You're not going to get assurance of salvation if you need to be saved. So if you're looking for assurance and you need to be saved, what you need to be looking for is salvation. But there's another side of that. God is never going to save somebody that needs assurance. You think about what I just said. You're only going to be saved once. If you've already been saved and you're in need of assurance, God will give you assurance. Amen. But if you've never been born again, you're never going to find assurance until you find salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know, 6.5 years of church membership, I wore the altar out trying to find assurance. But I never one time in my life admitted I was a sinner. Lost and undone. But boy, when that pride went down, salvation come up, amen, in my heart and in my life. I don't know why I felt compelled to share that this morning, but it's needful, amen. God knows what you need. You may not know exactly what you need, but God knows. He knows exactly what you need. I want to lay just a little bit of groundwork this morning. Brother Keith, we're still kind of going on the back end of what he preached to us at Homecoming Revival. He preached on the subject, are you ready? Are you ready for your trial? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to get dressed? And then the last message, are you ready for the trumpet? Boy, wasn't that a wonderful revival. Say amen. I mean, he's already looking forward to next year. Amen. And then what God put in our heart, the meeting closed out on Wednesday night, what God put in my heart is the other side of that coin. We begin to look at how that God is ready. The question is not, is he ready? Because he's ready. And we've given you two messages so far. God is ready to forgive. The Bible said in Psalm 86, "For thou art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy." Amen. God is ready to save to the uttermost those that will come to God by the Lord Jesus. And then last week we magnified on Sunday morning, Sunday night, how that God is ready to judge. He's ready to judge the quick and the dead, the Word of God said. There's two ways to look at that, the quick and the dead. It could be that those that are dead in trespass and sin, the Bible said, you have the quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Then you also have the fact that Jesus is coming, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air. And you can look at it at the coming of the Lord. But the message today is found in chapter number 14 and verse number 38. The Bible said, the Spirit truly is ready. The truly is ready. I begin to look up some things, and I've known this, but I wanted to get it exactly right. The Holy Spirit in the book of John is the paraclete. And that para means beside, and that clete means to call. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life at salvation, he's called beside. And the Word of God teaches us that he's an advocate, that he's a counselor, that he's a helper, and that he is a comforter. Beloved, I believe there are people in this room today that need comfort. But there are also people in this room that need conviction. You understand? The need is just as great, and the Holy Spirit's the only one that can provide either one of those. And I begin to look at this text and begin to look at the chapter a little bit, and you could go all over the Word of God with this. But what God's put in my heart today is we're going to stay with the text, stay with the chapter, and we're going to look at some times where the Spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. And I might title the help the message this, you're going to need some help. In these areas that God has spoken to my heart about, we're not going to make it alone. We're going to need some help. So stay with me and let's go down this road just a little bit together this morning. Let's look at verse 35 and verse 36. The Bible said he went forward a little, fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. I want to say this first of all in the meeting this morning. You're going to need some help when it comes to finding the Father's will. You're not going to do that on your own. Amen. You're going to need some help. I'm standing in this pulpit today because I parked a car out there about midnight one night and began to read the Bible and mumble and ask God, show me, Lord. Lord, I'm too far down the road to miss you now. In other words, beloved, I wanted to know his will, but I had to have some help, Brother Mike. I couldn't know, amen, without God coming alongside and helping me to know what his plan and what his will was for my life. Jesus is in the garden. He's the Son of God. He's not looking forward to Calvary. He's not looking forward to the nails in his hands and the crown of thorns in his head and being bruised in his face and all of his joints out of place. He's not looking forward to being scourged. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I love the word. It's a good word and every Christian ought to learn it. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. When it comes to surrendering to the Father's will, beloved, you're going to need some help. I've said this before and I'll say it again. This is the way most people think you're going to discover the will of God for your life. They think that you're going to just hand God a blank piece of paper and they say, now Lord, you write it down. And the Lord just writes it all down there, one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And then God hands it back to you. And you say, well, you know what? I can go along with that, Lord. So I'll sign off on it at the bottom. They think that's how you're going to discover the will of God. You'll never discover the will of God that way. Let me show you how to discover the will of God. Take the blank piece of paper, sign it. Hand it back to the Father. Say, fill it in, Lord. That's how you'll know the will of God for your life. Amen. You'll never know God's will, beloved, unless the Lord helps you to know the will of God. So the spirit is ready. Let me say something. The flesh is weak when it comes to knowing the will of God. I've talked to preachers that run from preaching. I've talked to people they knew God wanted to teach a class and they ran from it. They know God wants them to be a witness and they run from it. They know God wants them to be a prayer warrior and they run from it. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You can do the will of God with the help of God. You can discover and do the will of God. Now watch this. In verse number 37 and verse number 38, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch with me one hour? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I didn't even mean to mention this, but I don't believe David was watching and praying up on that rooftop. I don't believe David was hiding the word of God in his heart up on that rooftop that day when he looked down there and there was Bathsheba bathing. Somebody help me right there. You know what David discovered? The spirit was ready that day, but the flesh was weak. When that servant came and said, listen, it's not this Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite. I believe that's a perfect type of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came and said, hey, warning, warning, warning. I used to watch Lost in Space, that robot. Danger, danger, danger. I'm going to tell you, every believer has got the Holy Ghost living in them. And they'll tell us, amen, he'll tell us when we're about to get in trouble. And when it comes to consistency and watching and praying, we're going to have some help. Because the flesh, listen, you want to go to sleep? Determined to read your Bible. You want to go to sleep? Determined to pray. I told my wife this morning, I got up, I said, honey, we know 5 people that's terminally ill with cancer. And I said, baby, as I went to sleep last night, God is my witness. I said, I could only remember 4 of them. And so she helped me on the way to church this morning. I'm telling you, it's overwhelming right now, the people that are sick. Say amen. The people, beloved, listen, that are lost, that need the Lord. The people that are sick, that need a touch from God. It's overwhelming. But I'm going to tell you something right now. This old flesh, this stinking flesh is weak. But there's a spirit. Hallelujah. He's a little closer than alongside. He's on the inside. And he'll help us when it comes time to watch and pray. Amen. And then in verse number 38, there is a fact that we're going to need some help when it comes to escaping and enduring temptation. Do you know what? The Bible said there's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make you a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. Now let me ask you something. How many believes the flesh is going to show you the way of escape? Ain't no way. You know what the flesh is going to do? It's going to show you how to dive off headlong into what God said is wrong. Say amen. But thank God, the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer comes alongside and he will show us, amen, how to escape the temptation. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That's what James said. When he's tried, he'll receive a crown of life. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God. I hope you don't get anything else out of this message. You'll leave here saying, God, I need some help. Amen. Guess what he'll do? He'll help you. Those people that need help, you say, Pastor, don't that worry you? No, it's them people that don't think they need any help. They're the ones that worry me. Say amen. And then I'm going to give you this. I just begin to kind of stroll through the chapter. And I know my mind don't work like the average man's. And the average man's don't work like mine. But I thank God, God has access to my mind and my heart. Amen. And I just begin to look at the chapter here. And I thought, Lord, the spirit's ready, but the flesh is weak. And there's a wonderful story. Read it with me, and starting in verse number 1 of chapter number 14. I love this. The word of God said, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Brother Mike, God just showed me how this is going to go with Sunday school. Amen. Watch this now. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was the waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. If you read another text, old Judas, he was one that murmured because he had the bag. Amen. And the Bible said, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always. Whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. Boy, I tell you what's the truth. Boy. To be able to lay my head on that pillow in that casket, knowing I've done what I could. Amen. What a blessing that would be. The Bible said she come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel, this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial for her. There's some times you're going to need some help when it comes to surrendering to the Father's will, when it comes to consistency and watching and praying, when it comes to enduring and escaping temptation, you're going to need some help. But let me give you this. When it comes to giving up something that's precious, you're going to need some help. This woman had an alabaster box of ointment. And when you broke it, that's it. I mean, it's going to be spent or it's going to be wasted. Amen. And she spent it all on Jesus. Amen. Now, let me give you something here. Listen. You say, Pastor, why did you say that? I'm going to tell you something right now. God knows what's precious to every one of us. And when God requires something of you that's precious, your flesh ain't going to want to give it up. Brother Mike, I thought of Brother, Brother Ron Garris this morning. And, he'd get in them meetings with them Rock of Ages men. He said, I know, you need another deer rifle. You need another deer stand. You need another set of golf clubs. I mean, he'd preach. He was something else. Amen. I loved him to death. And his wife, he said to him one day on the way home, said, Ron, when you going to preach on them knives? He was a knife collector. And the words that came out of his mouth were, hush, wifey. I don't care who you are, you got flesh. And your flesh don't want to give up something that's precious to you. But I'm telling you, God put someone inside of us, the blessed Holy Ghost, that can help us when it's time to give up that that's precious to us. Amen. This woman took the best, not leftovers, the best. The Word of God in the book of Proverbs speaks of the first fruits, not leftovers. Amen. When Brother Mike was teaching in Sunday school, it reminded me of my dad. My dad didn't used to tithe, but my dad had a testimony. He said, I figured something out. He said, it is a happy day when I figured out God could do more with 90% than I could with 100%. Amen. What a blessing it is to give God what God wants. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't easy. You're going to need some help. You're going to need some help. Thank God the Spirit is ready. He's ready to help you. Amen. But the flesh is weak. Now watch this. Not only when it's time to give up something that's precious to you, but Brother Junior, when it's time to give up someone that's precious. How many in this room have given up someone? How many could say, I needed some help? I'm going to tell you something right now. The questions, they will bombard your mind. But you say, Pastor, where did you get that in the text? She said, against the day. Jesus said, against the day of my burying. She wasn't just giving up an alabaster box of ointment that was precious. She was giving up the most precious friend she ever had in this world. The Savior the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When it comes to giving up someone or something that's precious in your life, honey, you and I both are going to need some help. We can't do that alone. Amen. We're going to have some help. Aren't you glad the Spirit is ready to help us? Amen. The flesh is weak, but thank God the Spirit is ready. A couple more things. Actually, three more things. The next thing, if you read down verse 17, and you understand you could take any one of these things and preach a whole message on it. This could be a whole series and revival meeting. But I'm trying to give you what God's put in my heart this morning. When it comes to giving up something or someone that's precious, you're going to need some help. I'm going to tell you about a pastor's heart. Brother Mike, I want to carry him. I want to help him. I can be there for him, but the help that they need ain't going to come from the pastor. It's going to come from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let me give you this. Look at verse 17 down through verse 21, I believe. There's another time you're going to need some help. The Bible said it in the evening. He cometh with the 12. And as they sat and they did eat, Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and say unto him, one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. You say, Pastor, where are you going now? I hope there's not a person in the auditorium that knows personally about what I'm going to talk about right here. But when you've been betrayed, you're going to need some help. Kingsport, Tennessee. Brother Caleb, there's people sitting in living rooms this morning that used to sit on pews because they got hurt. They got hurt badly. You say, Pastor, are you excusing them? No. What I'm saying is, when you're betrayed, if you're going to keep going and doing the right thing, honey, you're going to need some help. Your flesh is weak. Your flesh will say, if that's what church is all about, I ain't going back. But if the Spirit of God lives in you, He begins to help you. And He can carry you back over to the foot of an old rugged cross and you can look up at the Savior of the world. You can say, I'm going on, Jesus. You went all the way to the cross. I'm going on for God. Are you getting this morning? He's ready to help. I'm going to tell you some of the hurts come in, the betrayals come in the church family, but some of them come in the family. Who does he think he is announcing his call to preach? I know how he's lived. Anybody say something like that, Brother Chris? The problem is not how you've lived. They don't know that he lives in you. Jesus, knowing that Judas would betray him, fell on his face. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It's worded different ways in different places. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will. He said in another text, For this cause came I into the world. Jesus knew when he was born that he was born to die, that I might live. And when that time of betrayal comes, I'm telling you, you say, Pastor, what would you do? Well, I know what I would do apart from the Lord. I would hunt me a sword. And I wouldn't be trying to cut the feller's ear off. I'd just go ahead and whack his head off. That's what Peter did. He cut his ear off. Jesus reached up there and put it right back. In another text, they said, Lord, wilt thou call, we call fire down from heaven to consume? He said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. The flesh is weak, but the spirit's ready. He said, for the Son of Man's not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. When it comes to being betrayed, it's the spirit that says, you leave it alone. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You take it in your hands and honey, you're fixing to make the biggest mess you've ever seen in your life. My dad, I love my dad. He taught me so much. I can remember sitting on the fender. How many remembers when you could sit on a fender under the hood with the motor? Those were the days, my friend. You open it now, amen, and there ain't room for a mouse to get in there, let alone a young man. Dad taught me how to put in spark plugs and change the wires and put on that distributor cap and rotor button, how to gap the points, turn it, bump it up on the high side. He taught me a lot. One of the things Dad taught me that's been really, 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 really wonderful in the ministry is this. He said, son, boy, God did show me an example in the Bible. He said, if you give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. You don't have to hang him, son. Just keep being good to him. Yeah. Who was that guy? Haman, wasn't it? You know what old Mordecai done? You want some rope? I need to give you some more rope. He ended up hanging on the very gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Ain't that good? You know what Mordecai would say today? The spirit indeed is ready. The flesh is weak. You don't think Mordecai sat in that gate and wanted to give him the right hand of fellowship every once in a while. Amen. He was flesh just like you are and just like I am. Listen, we need to understand when it comes to being betrayed, the Lord's ready. He's ready to help us. Then, two more things and I'll be finished this morning. Look with me, if you will, at verse 66. Go down here to Route 66. The Bible said, and as Peter, you remember what Peter said? How many remembers what Peter said? He said, Lord, I'll go with you all the way. Even to death. You remember that? Verse 66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither I understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. You remember what Jesus told him, right? He said, Peter, he said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Watch what the Bible said. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. He denied it again. And a little after they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech again agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear. Let me ask you something. Just a few pages earlier, do you think Peter would have ever dreamed that he would curse and that he would swear? I told somebody the other day, I just don't believe in that, amen. I have been in some places, Brother Chris, if someone would have wrote it down, I would have signed it. But I have never thought that was right. And I'm sure Peter could never dream that he could get in such a place. Warmed and by the devil's fire. The Bible said, afar off. Watch what the Bible said. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And the word of God said, and when he thought thereon, he wept. There's another time I want to give you that you're going to need some help. That's when you get so far away from the Lord that you think there's no way back. I'm sure that Peter absolutely could not believe where he was in his life. But the Spirit was ready. If you go with me to, I'm not going to read it, but if you go to John 21, Jesus, he approaches them and he says, children, have you any meat? They fished all night. You know what they caught? You know what we catch without Jesus? Nothing. I like what one preacher said. He said, without Jesus, he said, I'm a zero with the rim knocked off. Nothing. Nothing. And he said, cast your net on the other side. And I'm sure them professional fishermen said, yeah, that's going to do a lot of good. Nevertheless, at thy word, they let down the net, and now they had a multitude. I believe it was it 137? I can never remember them numbers real good. There's a bunch of them, amen. They get to the shore. Jesus didn't even need their fish. He already had fish on fire. Jesus didn't need their biscuits. He already had biscuits on the fire. I've told people this, and I believe this with all my heart. You understand, this is the glorified Christ. Beloved, I don't know what perfect fish and perfect biscuits is, but them boys eat it. Because whatever he done was perfect. Amen. I've eat fish when it's too done. I've eat fish when it wasn't done enough. And I've eat fish, hallelujah, when it was just right. Like it. And I like Miss E's biscuits. But Jesus had that waiting for him. What was he doing? He had been good to him. He gave him a big catch. Now he's giving him a big dinner. But it's going to get gooder than that. He says, Peter, I want to talk to you. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You know, Jesus said at one time, I'm not sure what he meant by the these. Maybe you're a theologian, Brother Mike. Yeah. But at one time, Peter said, if they all forsake you, not me, not me. You don't have to worry about me. So could it be that he said, lovest thou me more than these other disciples? You said you did. But look where you are. Or lovest thou me more than these? Maybe pointed to the fish. In other words, he went back to fishing. He said, I'll go a-fishing. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Ain't that right? That was the will of God. And so I don't know what Jesus meant exactly, but Peter knows. Because you know what Peter did? He got right with God. The spirit was ready. The flesh was weak. Peter gets right with God. And Brother Mike, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but had it been me, it would not have been Peter on the day of Pentecost. I would have chosen John, the one that went with him all the way, the one that leaned his head on his bosom. By the way, when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, I don't know if you've ever caught this or not, Brother Caleb, but is it I? When you get to John, you know what John said? Who is it? There's something right there. John said, I don't know who it is, but I know who it ain't. It ain't me, amen. If it had been me, I'd have chosen John. He said, preacher, why do you think God chose Peter? Well, this is Rickology. I believe he knew there'd be a lot more of us in the world like Peter than like John. That had spent some time afar off, been restored. The Spirit indeed is ready to restore. He's ready, beloved, to close that gap, amen, between God and man and bring that man back to a place of fellowship where he can be used once again. But the flesh is weak. In verse number 60 through verse 62, I close with this. And the priest stood up in the midst and ask Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest answered him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory. When it comes, listen to me carefully, and I'm finished right here. When it comes to being prepared to meet God, you're going to need some help. You can't do that all by yourself. Brother Chris mentioned in the prayer room a while ago that there's a scripture that says, no man seeketh after God. And there's another man that there's another scripture, I believe, in the book of Isaiah chapter 55 that says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You say, how do you marry those two verses of scripture? It's pretty easy. You can seek him, but he always initiates it. He's the one that always comes seeking. The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, we sang the song, Brother Dale, I know my name is there. You can't know without some help. You've got to have some help. The flesh is weak, but God's Spirit is ready to help you this morning to know that you know that you know that when you close your eyes in death, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Lord's ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy. He's ready to judge, but he's ready. The Spirit of God is ready to help this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you, Lord, that you helped us one day to understand and realize our need of thee. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that our Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would speak to hearts today. Lord, we're going to need some help along the way. I'm glad you sent another comforter. I'm glad you sent one, Lord, that could be our advocate, our counselor, our helper, our comforter. Called alongside. Thank you, God, for he, the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that he, the Holy Spirit, would do his office work in this service today. At this time of invitation, Lord, that you would speak to hearts, that you would help people, Lord, to understand you're ready. You're ready to help them. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning, no one looking around.